canine detection collaborative, a detection dog training trio with Stacey Barnett.
Hi.
Robin Grubel.
Hey there.
And Crystal Wing.
What's up?
With humor and a big dose of theory, our trio talks practical training advice and features interviews with top trainers and scientists.
It's Canine Detection Collaborative!
Hey guys, it's Stacey Barnett from Canine Detection Collaborative, and I am here with my two wonderful co-hosts, Robin Grubel.
Hello.
And Krista Wing.
Hello. I think you said Robin first last time, though.
I sometimes lose track.
I know that you said that you think about it, so that's the only reason.
I do. I try to flip-flop on purpose. So I am broadcasting personally from somewhere in Michigan on an interstate because I'm on my way to a summit trial, and we had actually recorded the reflection episode for our conversation with Lee Laubach, and we had a computer glitch that accidentally erased the first 10 minutes.
Thank you, Iowa.
So.
Thank you, living in nowhere, Iowa.
Thank you. Thank you, reception in Iowa. So we're going to have a conversation. It may or may not be the same as the original 10 minutes.
Oh, it's not the same.
It's not the same because, yeah, it's not.
It will be better, right? Of course it will be better. So, you know, so you're going to hear me and with not awesome sound quality other than the fact that we have an amazing editor. Thank you, Zach. And then it will flip over to, it will sound a little different. So I just want to like, let you guys know that we just want to make sure that we got all of this really, really cool conversation and our reflections about just a fantastic discussion that we had with Lee Laubach, and I'm just so excited. Of course, we had the episode, the Halloween episode, kind of in between, which was really kind of a cool episode also. But so we had this really great conversation, had to break it into two episodes, talking to Lee, who is definitely one of my favorite nose work judges. And I found out so much more about Lee, and he's just such a fascinating individual. And there were so many things that we kind of took away from that. But what do you guys, like, what really stood out?
But what was something new that you learned about Lee that you didn't know before?
I didn't know he was judging for like that. I didn't realize he'd been judging for that long. I knew for a long time, but I didn't know, like, for the time that back when I was trialing Judd and everything, I don't think I ran in front of him. I mean, there were a lot fewer trials back then, too, because the sport's really changed. So I was kind of like, wow, you know, I didn't realize you've been doing this for a while, you know, like that long. And he's just so fascinating. And learning not only just about Lee, but also learning about arson dogs and the whole arsonist conversation. I didn't even realize it was that prolific. Like, it was really a great conversation and getting to spend a little bit more time speaking with him because, I mean, I've really only had a chance to after trial or, you know, last time we were together, we both volunteered at the same trial and had a chance to chat with him a little bit. But it was really fun. It was really special.
I'm curious if you know about other nose work judges. Are there a lot of judges that they are kind of cross curricular or cross like activity like that where they don't necessarily compete in nose work first to then get into judging? Is that really common?
It's actually, most of our judges historically have been from the working dog community. It's only recently that either very experienced competitors or people who are already certified officials or, I guess, you know, I think some CNWIs or whatever, but can apply to become a judge. But up until recently, that wasn't the case. The only judges we had in those work did come from the working dog community. So people that I know, they were, you know, all different kinds of handlers. But yeah, so yeah, they usually, they weren't editors at all. So
are the COs the same then? Are they typically from the detection side?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the certified officials are typically from the most of them start out as certified nose work instructors and kind of applied to the certifying official program. Now the certifying official program is also, it expanded. Some of the folks that they've also included may not necessarily be a CNWI. And some of the more recent certifying official might be, because a lot of times you might have a working dog handler who then as like their next thing that they're doing, they get involved. They love the judging. You know, maybe it's a judge. They absolutely love the judging. They fall in love with the sport. And then they decide, you know what, hey, I'd like to be more involved. And then they become an instructor and stuff like that. So we're seeing some people kind of gravitate in that direction. And if they be, and if they kind of go that direction, they might decide also to become a certified official. I know there are several and they make super certified officials. I mean, I have to say that the organization itself is really good at the training of the COs. But we do have separation between the certifying officials who actually sit behind and the judges who make the call in the moment about the yes or the no, or essentially the dreaded where, which is basically if the handler makes the call and the judge isn't quite sure exactly where that call is being called, you might get a where.
Yeah. And I think that Lee had talked a little bit about his experience being an arson dog handler really yep. helped him with placing hides because of how the odors move.
Yeah, and that was fascinating because, you know, and I honestly, I should have realized this, being that I have a chemical engineering background, it could have been like, duh. But the arson odor, all 61 of them, right? They are going to be very volatile. So they're going to be very big. They're going to be very lofty. They're going to, and if you look at what we search for in the sport world, which is, you know, essential oil, it's also very volatile. It's very big and very lofty. So it makes sense that the odors will actually behave in a very similar manner. Because I think sometimes people kind of assume odor is odor is odor and it all behaves the same. Well, yeah, it's all subjected to the same forces, but based off the properties of what is creating the odor itself may actually behave differently. And I know, you know, spending time with you, Robin, and Crystal and everything, and looking at what happens with like human remains odor, sometimes it acts differently. And it's really fascinating when you see the differences. So I guess it should have occurred to me before we interviewed Lee. I don't know why it didn't, but that the arson odors would behave very similarly to those work odors. And I think that would really position Lee as a fantastic certifying official because he's so innately attuned to especially those big lofty odors. So I think it's going to make him an amazing CO. And I honestly can't wait until he's in the program. And I'm looking forward to eventually running his hides. I think that's going to be a blast. So
I totally agree. This is why having certifying officials for those of us who are in the professional detection dog world is so incredibly important, because especially for the cadaver dog work, some of our hide set out for 24 hours and odor can move a whole lot between when you set it out and where you think it's going to present.
Yep.
And where it presents later. And we see this on rubble piles too, that during the day, I was just doing some evaluating for this earlier, a couple months ago, and where we set it at 7 a.m. and then where the first three or four dogs had it present versus the last two or three, totally different mm-hmm. places.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can have, and we don't have it like 24 hours, but sometimes, I mean, depending in the hides, a lot of times they get set in the morning. And then because there's so many teams that run the search could easily go through past lunchtime or whatever. And based upon the weather can completely change.
Right.
You can have like the people that run the search at the beginning could just about have a like almost a different search than the people at the end.
Absolutely.
And our odors are so lofty that it can actually change moment to moment. Right. All of a sudden, hog cover, and now a hide's available where you know, now the cloud cover goes away and now the hide goes away. So it's just
amazing how that works. But I think
it is.
I appreciate the fact that not only is he having to go through, I mean, being a judge and is kind of like being an evaluator, like in my world, you say yes or no.
Yep.
Sometimes you set the hide, sometimes you don't, all those sort of things. But then a lot of organizations in the professional dog world have, they call them anything from master trainers to evaluating officials to lead examiners to all sorts of things. And it's the person who basically, A, has to complete all the paperwork. So you're pretty good at that. And B, is basically the on-site person who can make the value judgment of, yeah, that's a good place for a hide or a bad place for a hide, or, oh gosh, no, we have to just throw that one out. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm really excited that he's going through the certifying official program.
Well, because we've heard that you guys need more certifying officials so you can have more places and more trials.
They do. I mean, they just accepted applications for this next round, and I know they'll train them up, and there'll be more after that. So there's some parts of the country that have quite a few certifying officials, and there's other parts of the country that are a little there's not as many.
Right.
It's a little harder to get people, because then you have a whole travel type of situation and everything, that kind of thing.
It was exciting. We just had one here locally, and we don't typically have any here in the St. Louis area, really. So everybody was super excited. It was here in Troy, Missouri. They're like, yes.
Yeah. I heard that trial was really hot too.
Oh, it was crazy hot. All of a sudden we had a heat wave come through. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Our friend, Kayla Deaver, right?
Yes.
Who's our friend. And she's one of my students, and she was competing with her older Sheltie, and she says like in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I'm like, oh, I'm over here in a sweatshirt. I mean, I don't know what's going on with the weather, but.
And I think it was 2 days later. It hit the 60s 2 days later.
Yeah. The weather has been crazy nuts, because is also does really funky stuff to your odor.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you have a cold front or something go through, and we just had 30-mile-an-hour winds pick up tonight. It was beautiful, calm, and still. And then all of a sudden, poof, wind.
We had a construction sign fly into the road on my way home today. And everybody was swerving and trying to miss it.
Whoa. I did a vehicle specialty last weekend. We had 22-mile-an-hour sustain with 40-mile-an-hour gusts doing vehicles. And actually, it was really awesome because, I know this is a total tangent. Sorry, Lee, who's listening. Oh, this is my reflection.
Oh, that's what reflections are about.
Yeah, I know.
Tangents. We should call it tangents.
So it was actually the coolest thing in the world, because Prize, and she's like Miss Air Center. Like, she's just, she'll chase odor. She air sense. And I'm like, this is such a great opportunity. Like, I knew where the hide was generally. I'm like, I want you to really source this thing. It was just a really great opportunity. I'm like, yeah, 40-mile-an-hour wind gust, source that thing, would you? She did a really, really nice job. But it was crazy. It was just like a massive wind tunnel, completely nuts.
I appreciated Lee talking about the fact that a lot of the nose work
stuff. Way to bring us back there, Robin. Way to bring us back.
You know, I try.
Like, yeah.
Okay,
got it.
Girls. You know, he was talking about the nose work odors and nose work tests being very similar to all of the different components for what the professional canine handlers do.
Yeah.
And I mean, Amy Hero told us that they're designed that way. And so I think that it's that whole concept of the sport dog people who have, I get jealous when they have dogs who can wrap cars really nice. So I'm like, oh. That's training right there, friend. That's one of those fun things that makes you, it's funny to see that come across as different things of, wow, that's a nice rapping dog.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Oh, well.
You know, it all comes down to training priorities and what we have time for, right? It's just.
Well, and I appreciated, because I know Lee was talking about the one scenario where because the pattern on how they train the dog, they teach, use the dogs, like he goes in for and does a search, gives him a rest, does another search, gives him a rest and does another search. And a judge went into the middle of the thing and said, dude, I'm not moving because I've told you there's nothing here. And
very judgy.
And he was passing judgment at that point.
Yes.
And so I think there's, I've had lots of people ask me questions about, should you train your dog to tell you that nothing's there? And I was like, no, you should be good enough at reading. I mean, Lee knew there was nothing there, but this is the protocol that we use. So we have to do this. And I absolutely don't believe in training your dog to tell you that odor is not available.
Yeah, that's a handler's role. That's the handler's role to figure that out. It's
wait, we have a job? I thought we just...
You were just Uber, right?
Yeah.
right.
Isn't that what Lee said?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I thought he was the driver. Yeah, he's the judge's driver.
I mean, my job is just to get the dog there and then they do the thing.
Yeah, all of the things.
Go find the hides. Let me know what you found. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me this and I'm like, no, I said, my dogs keep searching until I tell them we're done searching. And the other thing, it always like people are like, oh, I want this like behavior to say that, you know, an all clear behavior. And I'm like, okay, so what if your dog doesn't know what the little cones or flags are that tell you what the search boundaries are? Like,
right.
Have you ever trained like, oh, by the way, this is the search area, right? I mean, I said, if your dog gives you an all clear, it just means that the areas that they covered are all clear.
Right.
Did you cover the rest of it?
Well, which goes back to the whole dog directed searches instead of handler facilitated.
Right, exactly.
It just made me visualize the area with like the Roomba or like whatever, like vacuum, you know, when it's like the little
dirty deep,
the little beacons, you know? Yeah, my the little beacons at the corners, you know? It's like
dirty deed who opens the refrigerator.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. Stupid robot. He's opening my fridge.
Refrigerator.
Yes. It was open for like 6 hours.
Oh no.
You know what you need? You need like...
Well, I set it up to do it right before I leave for work. I mean, from coming
stoppers.
Home.
You need like a little draft stoppers to like just put like a little...
I know. It's a new thing.
Don't go here.
Well, no. So it kind of like a bumper, like it goes up like a bumper car, like do a little draft stopper.
Yeah. Well, Dirty Deed is kind of naughty. Like he attacks the other vacuum and he knocks down lamps and he's dirty.
He's very vicious on doing what he thinks he needs to be doing.
We'll
sorry, we're way off now.
Yeah, I know.
How do we go there?
I don't know.
Oh, because I was saying, because like you're trying to get the edges of the search area. I almost imagine like this little robot dog thing, you know, where you're like, you just walk them on the perimeter and say like, this is your area, now search, you know?
Right. Exactly. You must not pass the flags, you know?
Yeah. All of a sudden feels very IGP.
Right. I just like, yeah. So the whole all clear.
Yes. Just no.
No.
Just no.
Just no.
So, okay. But I'm going to go back to what he said, where he said that when the dog is sitting on the start line, he can tell you that the dog already knows if there's odor or not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's looking at the engagement of the dog. The dog, you can tell if the dog's like really engaged in odor.
Okay. Talk about it. How do you know?
Well, for me, I look at the intensity of the dog. Like the dog is like, I mean,
what does that mean?
Oh, shush. No, it's you guys are laughing at me because I'm hearing this like, well, what behavior is that?
Yeah.
The energy. I see the energy coming off the dog. You can tell.
Is it yellow or green?
It's like the aura. It's like this polka dot aura. And when I see that aura, I know there's odor.
Is there a smell that you get?
Absolutely. I see.
I get like a picture in my head.
And well, so one of the things that I see when I walk into a room, I'm going to rescue Stacy here. Okay?
Thank you.
I love you.
Knowing that my target, I'm probably now like a target. But anyway, when it actually is the whole thing, if people, when they walk up to the start line or I walk up to a room, one of the things that I'll do is I'll take that 3 to 5 seconds at the threshold of the room. And if I get the opportunity and I'm not too nervous during a certification, I might actually take a little bit longer so I can let the dog catalog the room. And typically what you can see is the dogs that are very experienced will come in and they'll almost do a scan of the room. And it's almost like you get a little nose twitch, which is what I would picture as a head nod. Yep, there's one there. There's one in that corner. There's one over there.
Okay, that is not Nico's voice.
That's Dash.
That's Dash. Okay.
I was gonna say, that doesn't sound like Nico.
I'm like, no, that's not Nico.
No, that's Dash.
Who are you right now?
Yeah. Right. Well, and yes, that's Dash. Well, and it's really funny because it was so interesting to listen to Lee, because before Dash became a bomb dog, I was actually considering training him up to do arson work.
Really?
Yeah. And spent quite a bit of time with a very nice arson handler from Salina, Kansas, who was very gracious with his time, learning some of those specific things about arson work. I still have my arson training kit out in the garage. It's probably all evaporated by now. But the interesting differences in, okay, now you have to do 50% gas, 75% gas, full gas.
Yeah.
Then you have
the 61 target odors.
Well, and he's exactly right, though. I mean, if you think about it, how many different manufacturers of turpentine are there?
Yeah.
And turpentine, it's just like bomb dog odors. I make a chocolate cake. You make a chocolate cake. Crystal makes a chocolate cake. We use the same recipe.
Please don't make me do that.
we all make the same recipe, but it's...
Don't eat mine.
In a slightly... different recipe.
How do people even listen to us? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Sorry.
Bless you all, really. So, don't you guys have the same thing go on with your essential oils?
Well, but
not every birch is birch, is it?
However, this is in NACSW, the trial odor all comes from the same place. It's actually provided by the organization.
So
there is consistency. There have been situations where people have contacted me and said, hey, I train, my dog recognizes all three odors. But I had someone actually contact me and say, what? But then I go and my dog can't pass the ORT for this one odor. And I said, it's possible you're training on a completely different brand.
Yes.
Than what is being provided by the organization. So therefore, I would go to the approved vendors. There's a couple approved vendors and get odor from them and train on that.
Right.
Because you can go, I think it's actually allgooddogs.biz is, mm-hmm. I think that's like the official for the NACSW.
Okay.
Odor. Although I tend to get a lot of my stuff from Canine Nose Work Source because she's an awesome vendor and she's...
We'll include links.
We will include links. So yeah, so it's a little different than like, we don't have like different turpentine.
But it seems like with arson, you'd be able to get access to everything pretty easily because it's all...
Yes.
I mean, it's not like it's something super secret like with bomb dogs or with narcotics.
You pretty much just go to the local big box.
Yeah.
Right.
But see, that's where I kept getting hung up because...
You don't need a DEA license or whatever and all that kind of...
Well, it was so helpful when he said that, because I'm thinking all the carcinogenic kind of things, you know, because I'm thinking about as an art teacher and you have to use odorless paint thinner, you know, it's not odorless. Yeah. It still stinks.
Yeah. But yeah, because you're around it like all the time. It's not even...
All the time.
Kids. It's like, and it's you. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you get headaches. And, 20, and so then I was thinking... the safety of the dog part. Because we think we're so careful about what the dogs are in and the cancers. Yeah. And when he said that the dogs are living long lives because those cancers aren't happening until they've been exposed for longer periods of time, that really helped my brain a little. Because I was also thinking, you know, like with our tracking, when you have access to sod, there's so many chemicals and things that they're always being...
Right.
I don't know. He threw me off. What happened?
I'm sorry. So... For all of you in listener land, We're on Zoom. We do these on Zoom.
Are you trying to throw her off on purpose?
No. UConn looked like he was going to snag the macaroni container off of your kitchen counter.
Listen, I get a look behind you. I'm like, what?
I was just like, oh no. And Crystal's like, oh my gosh, what happened? No, that was just UConn looking like he was going to have snack.
Oh. I had no idea how to keep track. I'm like, I can't stay focused and look behind me. So so anyway, I've been worried about going to the sod farm and tracking.
Yeah, because, right.
You know, if there's no weeds there, there's a reason. There's lots of bugs, but no weeds. And I'm like, no, how does that happen? There's things happening there.
Yeah.
And so I try to mix it up and go to lots of different places.
Yeah.
But still, it was just one of those moments where I go, okay, it's something I need to think about.
Right.
And kind of research a little, because I'm always thinking, you know, well, I don't want to get them exposed to too many things that can be harmful, especially because, you know, this is my buddy, like this is my pal.
Yeah. But he was also saying, but then you have to go think like the inhaled versus contact is also, because he does decontaminate his dogs after.
And his dogs don't lick. That was huge.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So Robin, you have a lot of, I mean, this is very similar to what, you know, you have to do with all the, with like the rubble. FEMA stuff. So,
oh my God, searching in insulation is like one of the most horrible things. And after tornadoes,
I was thinking like floods too. That's oof.
The actually one of the tornadoes that we responded to, there came out a whole bunch of brand new protocols because one of the FEMA teams almost lost some of their dogs to organophosphate poisoning.
Wait. Where does that come from?
Organophosphates. Think about all of the fertilizers that are sitting and hanging out in your garage.
Well, not my garage, but okay. Yeah.
Right. In garage and things that you put on your lawn and stuff like that. And then they walked all over it and it got absorbed through their paws. And so typically when we go out the door, the dogs do a blood draw before they go out the door. And then we do blood draws when they get back. So we can regulate some of that stuff. And we've become much more diligent, like on a deployment earlier this year, dogs went up on the pile. They got off the pile. We walked right over to the fire engine that was standing right there and they got a bath.
Wow.
Undercarriage the whole nine yards before they, because as soon as you put them back in the car in their crate, actually now your crate's hot.
Right.
And so you'd have to disinfect your crate and all of those sorts of things. So just like Lee's dogs are typically our dogs don't wear booties.
Yeah.
I know that they did end up doing some stuff in Hawaii because the fire was so hot and the metal shards and all sorts of things over there. It was a very unique circumstance, but typically our dogs don't wear any type of protective gear.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was interesting too, that he said the only time his dog had an issue was walking on the salted road.
Yes.
Well, that is hard on their feet, but but it's a surprise that he would say that was the only time he ever had an issue, but yeah.
And that's the thing that everybody encounters. That's not even, you know, specific to an arson dog. It was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because here in Iowa, it would be great for us for me to spend a lot of time during the winter taking the dogs in for training and all sorts of things. And I actually don't do it a lot for exactly that reason, because a lot of commercial places use so much salt in their parking lots and on their driveways.
Oh yeah.
That I'm like, it's not worth it. That, and I don't want to stand at the back of my car when it's 22 degrees below zero and get my dog out.
Well,
you know, there is that.
There's that too.
Yeah.
You weirdos up north.
I know.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
Okay, there's love for you. Totally. Now I'm getting hate mail from everybody that's north of Missouri. Around the world. Yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I say it jokingly, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Something that I really appreciated was the community aspect.
Yes.
Because that's something that I think that Radish would be really good at, because she's such just a happy little girl. And so she's one of the dogs that smile.
Yeah, but her smile can be a little scary if you don't really know it's a smile.
Well, and that's what I've learned. So what I do is her
it's
whole
cute
body,
to me, but she looks very.
Her whole body turns into a noodle. And she goes into like this U shape and her tail like goes wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. And she lowers her ears. Her ears get really tight to the side of her head. Like
and
they drop down somehow.
Gums back and shows all of her teeth.
Every single tooth in her face is exposed. And she's like, that's the noise she
does. She does make a snorty noise. It's funny.
It's the cutest thing ever. So I put it on cue. So I'll say, go say hi. It, oh my God, she just did it. Ah, what a good girl. So I'll say that. I won't do it again. And she makes that big smile. And then she does that like cue with her body. And then she goes toward the people. And so I actually had a grown man who is a like known dog trainer, not going to call him out here, hide behind a whole group of women because he was scared of the dog that was air quotes snarling.
Oh my God.
So now I made sure I put it on cue. So that way too, people know I'm like, go say hi. You know, that way it's all happy go lucky kind of thing. But yeah. And so she does the whole wiggle thing over to him.
Well, if you just like closed her lips, like it wouldn't look so
Oh, but it's
scary.
So cute. Like once you know it, and I'll just, she's smiling. But the exciting part is I'm starting dog club at school and we got permission and I get to bring her in. And I think it's going to be like a once a month kind of thing. Students get to train her and learn all about dog training. And then the psychology students, I'm doing an all day thing with all three of my dogs. And they get to teach them a new behavior each hour. I get to talk about classical conditioning and operant conditioning and Pavlov. You know, I'm super excited. Like grandma's law.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about it. And the kids have already started talking about it. I do have to figure out something with my art kids. I think they're going to do gesture drawings of the dogs, whatever.
something like that. Right.
Yeah. I'll figure out something meaningful while they're there. But that community piece is so powerful. Yeah.
It is. And it was so interesting to learn, to listen to him talk about the fact that Judge told us we had to have smoke detectors in our bedrooms.
Right.
And, you know, so Judge said that. And every semester I go in and I talk at ANSI 101, which is actually, I talk during dog week. So we, you know, talk about dog training.
Where, what school?
Iowa State University.
Okay.
And so it's ANSI 101. It's Dr. Scar does all of these different things and it's during dog week.
Cool.
And it turns out that I use it for career awareness. I talk about all the different careers. You know, you don't just have to be a veterinarian. There's like 500 other careers you can have out there and still work with dogs or animals. And I remember I've walked into several vet clinics now and have ran into people who were students in ANSI 101 who are now veterinarians.
Whoa.
I know, I feel old. And then when I still lived in Ames, I was actually out, and this was when I still had Moses and Talon, and I was actually out for a walk with them. And some student comes riding by on their bike and is like, hi, Moses and Talon, and just keeps riding. And I'm like, yeah, shocked liver, get it. And I totally start the class with, this is me, but now it's Flash. I'm like, this is Flash.
Yeah.
I understand you're not going to remember my name, but you'll remember hers and it's perfectly okay.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you ever forget Flash? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We didn't mention this on the podcast when we were talking with Lee, but Allentown is actually, there's going to be a park named after Canine Judge.
Really? That's so cool.
Yes, it really is. So talk about community, like, his dog and Lee and also Lee
again, right?
Right. Had such an impact on the community that they're naming a park after him. So
that's fantastic. Well, and just to know that they reduced the number of arsons by like 60%.
Yeah. Something scary high like that. That's crazy.
And that was something I was curious as to how that happened. And it was fascinating. He was talking about that. Cause at first I was like, oh, you know, so like, are the arsonists not doing it because they're scared? And
right,
I was like, oh, okay. So they're actually learning that they can't do it because of insurance and
yeah,
they're going to get busted. And it's not like some random person. It's Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Here I am being all naive, like, arson must be really rare. And I'm like, maybe it's not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have a friend who lives in Alabama who, there's lots of arsons down there. There's not a whole lot of them in Iowa.
No, okay.
That's one of the reasons that Dash got re-career, just because I was like, I wanted, well, so we'll just go do bomb dog work. Unfortunately, we hadn't gone too far down that road. I'd done a lot of research stuff, but.
Gotcha.
I don't feel like there's that many here. Now I'm kind of curious.
I think you know people who you can ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably do. And I live near Allentown. I mean, I'm like, one of my corporate jobs before in my old life was actually in Allentown. Actually, it was Bethlehem, but they're kind of close. So, I mean, I had no idea that we had so many arsonists that you had to reduce it by 60%, you know?
Right, or the different types of arsonists.
Yeah, I know. I was all like generic arsonists, like, you know, you either set a fire or you don't. I didn't realize there were kind of...
Well, and it was fascinating for me to hear that, you know, okay, they walk through the crowd and then the dog alerts on somebody.
Yes.
Have, you know, stuff on them in the crowd. And I'm like, oh, that's sneaky.
Yes.
It is. Like, but that's kind of cool, right? Because, yeah, it's just...
But then at the same time, I'm like, don't give away your secrets, Lee.
I know, no, right?
Well, he's not actively handling a dog right now, but...
I know, but...
true, because then... Well, you know, because I'm sure we have all these arsonists like listening to our podcast.
Okay, good point.
You know, okay, so if you are an arsonist out there,
send us a note. Let us know where you live.
So, yeah.
Give us your address.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. So, pro tip.
Send some friends over to talk to you.
Pro tip.
Be a special guest.
Right, exactly. I mean, I was kind of thinking that, and I'm like, we can't have any arsonists. There can't be that many arsonists, and I'm sure they
don't. Well, and maybe we're actually helping people make better choices and not become arsonists.
Right, yeah.
Because they know they're going to get busted now, and that it's going to be the dog. And
That's right.
So it's awareness, too.
Yeah.
It's not just about not getting caught, but just don't do it.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that was a good message.
Although there's a lot of people out there is like, oh man, I had a spider in my kitchen, man. I almost turned into an arsonist. Like that was like,
I put my snake post up.
I saw that and you were like, no snake hate. And I'm like, not comment.
We might have to do an episode trigger warning now. We talked about spiders and snakes and burning stuff down.
usually you have a picture of a spider and it's like, people are like, burn it down. And I'm like, all right, there's your arsonist.
And I'm like, no, they eat the bugs. Oh my goodness, you guys.
We are like really good at tangents tonight.
We are. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Professional tangenters.
Mm-hmm.
Any other takeaways?
Oh
my gosh. It was just such a great episode. And honestly, just really
episodes.
Yeah, exactly. There were two of them. Sorry. Well, we talked to him for like close to 2 hours there. It was just really cool to get a chance to listen to him. And I love his connection with his dog. Like it's palpable, right? Like
if you hand somebody else the toy, the dog's not going to do the same job.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, their teamwork is based on their connection and their relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And just even like sometimes, like, I mean, you can see when you have that connection between the dog and the handler, but sometimes in this case, like you can hear it. You can hear it in the way he talks about him. And I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah. Made him a great fit to chat with us, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. We might be a little heavy on the relationship side.
Yeah.
So judge me. Bring it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I had to use judge there.
I appreciated and really enjoyed his discussions about the intricacies training and maintaining an arson dog.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's doing all of this nose work stuff with dogs, people, the general public, especially those people who are listening to us, know that it's harder than it seems.
What?
And I know. And the whole flow of the 61 different odors and making sure they're generalizing appropriately, but not generalizing to the wrong thing. And maintaining the training logs. And
so you're saying this is hard?
Yes, this is hard.
Okay.
And the necessity of smart training and all of those things. I appreciate the fact. And I also appreciate the fact that they retired him at 10.
Yeah.
Because it's, we ask our dogs to do dangerous things sometimes professionally. And walking into those types of scenes, I've worked several fire scenes. They're not fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I knew that training an arson dog was very intricate and involved and takes a special kind of dog and all those sorts of things. So that was my big takeaway.
Which actually, sorry, I know we're doing takeaways, but
it's okay.
I was just kind of thinking when he was talking about how it totally didn't even occur to me that the dog would also have to deal with human remains sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when he mentioned how Judge actually responded to animal, like pet remain, and how it was actually almost stronger, it just broke my heart. Yeah. But I didn't even think about the human remains part of it. For arson, it just didn't even occur to me. Yeah. Sorry, I know we were doing takeaways.
That's all good. Any other thoughts?
Before we let you do a takeaway, you just if
no, I think I already did mine, didn't I?
Oh no.
Did I not? I don't know.
No,
you didn't.
Oh
no.
Mine was the relationship. That's
okay. So yes, you did.
Oh, okay, okay. That was the takeaway. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I think we tend to talk about it a lot. And I think people need to understand that, like Crystal said, it's not always just about handing the toy to somebody else and letting them handle the dog. You've got to get the dog from point A to point B and understand the body language and how they move through an area and all of those sorts of things. So there's lots of professional training facilities that once a new handler starts working a dog, nobody else gets to work that dog.
Mm.
And so they're not necessarily like a hammer that you can just hand off to somebody else.
Yeah.
I love how he extended the idea of relationship as being him reading the dog. And you can only do that through experience of that individual dog.
Mm-hmm.
And that the dog is also responding to him. And so that was something that was powerful for me in that relationship piece. Because I don't think everybody thinks of it as my ability to read my dog is part of my relationship.
Yeah.
I think they maybe see that as just a skill.
Yeah. Oh, you mean it's not all a behavior that you're reading?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the behaviors of the dog that I'm reading.
Uh-huh. Sorry.
Oh my gosh, you guys are funny. Okay. All right. Anything else? We want to say huge thanks to Lee for spending 2 hours with you guys. And I got to listen on the backside. And so it was a very fun interview. And I hope that all of you listeners out there in listener land, do us a favor and put your reflections on this post and let us know what some of your takeaways from the episode were. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll chat at you next time. Go train.
Canine Detection Collaborative! We appreciate the time you spend with us. If you liked this episode, not only should you follow us so you don't miss the next one, but please also rate and review us in your favorite podcast app. For info on collaborating with us, go to caninedetectioncollaborative.com. That's K9detectioncollaborative.com. Where you can find our socials and pick up our latest monthly freebie. Join us again to talk training in the next episode.